Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. On this Monday, we'll catch up with Teron Davenport at 1 p.m. We'll get TD's recap of what he saw, at Mandatory Minicamp last week. We got a week-long OTA starting this week for the Titans, so kind of get a little bit of a prepper of what TD is going to be looking for as the Titans head back out. I believe this is the final OTA period before we get back into training camp in mid-July. So we'll catch up with TD at 1 p.m. And, of course, we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Before we get started on today's program, because we've got a, you know, 7-minute long Tony Vitello rant that we've got to get into. My goodness. I mean, somebody was fired up yesterday.
Let me tell it juice.
Uh-huh.
He drunk some Let me tell it juice.
Let me tell you how it's going to be around here.
Let me tell it juice. That's what he was drinking. Goodness.
So before we get into that, a little bit of news. Not necessarily breaking Titans or Predators news, so don't get too excited.
But just it's still breaking news. Hit the breaking news music.
It's not just little news. This is good news.
Yeah, this is great news. Breaking news. So let's not diminish anything that goes on this show. This is breaking news.
Oh, well, thank you.
This is big news. So
got the breaking news.
Yeah,
sounder.
Are we ready? We're going to hit it because this is something that Walter Cronkite need to be talking about if he was alive. He said, she don't know about Walter Cronkite, Willie.
I know who Walter Cronkite is.
I like messing with him.
No, I never saw one of his broadcasts. But I know who he is. So a little bit of at least personal breaking news. Today kicks off my final week on the program. Today kicks off my final week as a full-time employee and a full-time host with 102.5 The Game, which saying it out loud and on the air and in public feels a little bit surreal because it makes it feel really real. I was given a really wonderful opportunity elsewhere that I simply couldn't pass up. But whenever I can share what I'm doing next and where you can find me next and where I'll be next, I'm really excited to share that. But just for now, I wanted to make today and this week and my final week just about this place. And Willie and Derek and Nick and Chase and Joe and Robbie and Jared and Joe Rexroad and everybody here. And Ryan Porth, who gave me an opportunity when I was 23 years old and had zero radio experience. This place has given me so much, so I just wanted to make this week about this place and these people. But I'm staying in Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going very far. You'll still be able to hear my voice on this radio station, just not on a day-to-day basis. So I just wanted to say thank you. Mm-hmm. You still have me for the whole week, so don't get too excited. You still have me for the week, but today marks at least my final week. So just a very sincere thank you to everybody.
Well, it's been a true pleasure working with you, and I've said it to you numerous of times that I've enjoyed the opportunity we've had, Willie and I have, to work with you. You know, when you jump into that seat, that point guard seat, you know, without any chemistry with individuals, it's kind of tough. You know, it's tough, and you're trying to find your way through it. But you found your way through it. You kept your voice. You stayed strong. Even when, you know, you and Willie were going at it, or you and I were going at it, you stayed strong and you stayed to your take, because you felt passionate about it. And that's something that I truly appreciate. You didn't sort of back down just because it's two, you know, males sitting here. You held your own and you gave us a run for our money. And, you know, I know you'll be on plenty of times, and you will continue to give us a run for our money. But you became, at least to me, you became like a little sister. And when you're not here, you know, the brothers, we sometimes don't know how to kind of put it all together. We manage it when you're not.
Yeah. Just fine.
But, we're going to talk about it a lot over the week.
Yeah.
But I truly, and I know Willie feels the same way, as well as Nick, and I'm just talking about this show. But we do truly appreciate your time here, your voice, your knowledge on sports, and just, you know, just getting to know us. and us getting to know you. We do appreciate that. And you're going to be missed. So I want you to know that.
I will miss you guys as well.
Well, you said it well, D-Mace. So when was your first – when what year did you come to the game?
2021. It was late March of 2021.
Okay.
Yes.
That is interesting. And when – this is when mm-hmm. you start getting our age, when you can remember Walter Cronkite. You start, the years start running together.
Yes.
This time flies so far. So, and you it became Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, what, a year and a half ago? Mm-hmm. About 18?
Yeah, year and a half or so? 2023. It was like first show of the 2023.
Yeah, it was early.
Yeah,
January. It was. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. But I think D-Mace, we both kind of recognize mm-hmm. that. You know, we had a great talent, and
exactly.
I kind of envisioned this day would come. I was hoping it wouldn't be this quick, but one thing that I think is great about our radio station is we have watched a lot of young talent develop and move. If they're going to move on, they're moving on to big things, better things, and I think that's the case here. So just congratulations.
Thank you.
for what this means for you, and I'm glad you're going to be around because mm-hmm. – We're going to have Caroline on a few times as the show goes on, right? But it's just great to know that you're part of the family here, and so you're always going to be part of the family. But congratulations on what you've done so far, and you're just getting started
Thank
with everything
you.
That's going on.
I appreciate you guys so much. When this program started, we were all just trying to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, figure things out. I was trying to figure out what we wanted to be, what I wanted to be, and I feel like what we've built here is really, really special, and I leave it with a heavy heart. But it's truly see you later. It is not goodbye. So thank you guys for everything. We've got a full week, though.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a full week.
I'm glad you're doing this today, so we have a few days to kind of acclimate until Friday, and then Friday's going to be pretty rough.
You know, I've just expressed the same sentiments that both of them said, but I appreciate you guys welcoming me in open arms for this show, especially Caroline. When you kind of lead the show, you send me all the clips left and right. I'm like, take a deep breath. I got this. It's all good. Caroline gives me that extra reassurance. So she does a really good job. And next place, wherever you go, they'll be very, very happy to have you. So,
thank you, Nick.
Thank
and
you.
I do. I throw things at you, and you take it like a champ. So you have been such a wonderful addition.
I've watched enough Mike Tyson, so we're good. But yes, Caroline, congrats.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you guys so much. And like I said, we'll get into it on Friday, mm-hmm. and I'm sure the waterworks, at least from my perspective, will absolutely be coming Friday. I've been trying to kind of prepare myself, hold things back. The waterproof mascara will be going on Friday. But just wanted to kick off the week with that news. But now, I mean, we gotta get into Tony Vitello's diatribe on last night after mm-hmm. Tennessee beat Evansville, and it was a butt whooping of epic proportion. I turned the game off in like the bottom of the seventh mm-hmm. because at that point I think Tennessee was up 12-2 or 12-1, whatever it was. I thought, okay, this game is over. And of course, that series was probably a lot more uncomfortable than Tennessee fans expected it to be. Probably a lot more uncomfortable than Tennessee fans would like to admit. Tennessee mm-hmm. takes game one. Evansville takes game two. And I know that at least all of the Tennessee fans in my life were truly preparing themselves for Tennessee to get beat by Evansville and miss out on an opportunity to make it to Omaha. Which, look, like that's to your credit, Nick Frazier, you told us on Friday, it was your take it to the bank, that Evansville was not just going to be a team that Tennessee could just walk all over. And they held their own. They held their a team from Evansville that nobody thought would be at this point. They held their own. But Tennessee ultimately punches their ticket to Omaha last night.
You know what they say about it in poker with aces? That's the worst hand to have is pocket aces. So, I mean, Tennessee decided to take them to Omaha on that point. So just putting that out there.
So Tennessee punches their ticket to Omaha. What is it, the third time in 4 years? Which is great testament.
And the only time they missed was when they probably had their most – loaded team,
yep.
and Notre Dame beat them. So they've been really, really good. And I will say this. The number four seed, the Purple mm-hmm. Aces, as Nick was talking about, you had to admire it. Like, this is what the mid-majors have sort of become. If you notice, that it was kind of an older team. Mm-hmm. Not a ton of guys are going to be first-round picks or second-round picks, but just good baseball players. And you had to admire you know, how they fought there, and they just simply ran out of pitching. The better team won over the weekend, and Tennessee did a good job of keeping their cool, not panicking when they lost the second game. They stayed focused, even mm-hmm. fell behind for just a smidge. last night, you're thinking, oh, are they going to feel the nerves? But yeah. their crowd, their bats kind of got them going. And, you know, they're moving on to Omaha as they should be based on who they were playing there. But I love it. It was an amazing weekend of college baseball.
It was such a good weekend.
So many adventures within games. I mean, the Clemson-Florida game yesterday was epic.
There was everything you could ask for.
It took forever, but it was ridiculous how long it took. But and there were some crazy highlights, crazy arguments, scuffles. So college baseball is alive and well for sure. These atmospheres that they're creating, it is really something. It grows every year.
It does. And I think that Tony Vitello and this Tennessee program is part of that. What they were able to do in 2022, how I think there were so many new eyes on baseball because of what they were doing on the field and also some things off the field as well. But after Tennessee lost to Evansville in game two, series is tied up. Whoever takes game three punches their ticket to Omaha. There was a reporter, I believe it was a TV reporter, a local Knoxville reporter, that asked Tennessee player Blake Burke, if you don't go to Omaha, would this season not be considered a success? Is this season a failure if you are not able to make it to Omaha? And clearly, those comments rubbed head coach Tony Vitello the wrong way. So he kind of opened up his press conference with a response, a reaction to that question that was asked the night before. This was Tony Vitello.
Noah, it's Noah Webster, Webster's Dictionary. It says success is a degree or measure of achievement, or if you read it in another deal online, degree or measure of succeeding. So those two words right there, and I definitely ain't the smartest fella, degree and measure means you get a pick. You get a pick what success is, which is pretty awesome. So Noah probably doesn't know how to define it with these guys where you got to sweat, you got to be in the weight room together, you got to trust the guy. If you give up a ground ball, can make the play for you, or if you give up a run, the other guy will go to work for you. He wasn't that, but he was a thinker. And the big thing Noah was, he loved his country, big time patriot, which is kind of a lost art around here. So I don't know the guy, but I got a lot of respect for him. And I like the way he wrote that whole deal up as far as degree or measure. For me, I get a pick. I was around my dad a lot. He can't tell me what to do. I don't consider myself, I work for people here, but I'm my own boss when I come here. And for me, success is part group. When our group has success, I consider myself a teammate to these guys. It means I had a level of success. But then there's also the part where I got a job to do and I got to make decisions. And if you were to put all my decisions in a bucket for the weekend, I had more wrong decisions than correct decisions. For instance, Dalton Bargo probably should have pinch hit yesterday. He showed me that with some attitude and some success today. And I'm not so sure he doesn't do it yesterday too if we pinch hit him against Harris, because he wants to go home and he's going home. But you know what, Bargs? Success for me is being a good teammate. And Cal Stark is my guy. That's my guy for a lot of reasons, no doubt. So success for me is what I get to judge. If you're talking about success for this team, the one thing I stated after last season, because I'm in a bathroom crying with just a lot of emotions after we're able to beat Clemson last year, was to show up at work every day and get out of my car excited and to have fun and to be around people that want to be here and be in an environment that you're excited to get to every day. 100% success. Omaha is real fun to go to. If you don't play that well, it ain't that fun.
Okay, and that went on for like five more minutes. He kept going on and on and on. And frankly, I listened to that twice over. And he still loses me at some points. He goes on some tangents, and I struggled to follow it a little bit. But overall, the essence of what Tony Vitello is saying is, who are you to say what makes us a success or not? Who are you to say that, you know, throughout this entire journey of the season and getting through the postseason, getting through Omaha, it's incredibly difficult. How can you tell us what a successful team is or isn't? But I will say this. It would be considered a failure if this Tennessee team didn't get to Omaha.
I mean, the question is a valid question. You may not have liked the question at that particular time because you're still playing, and that's not something that, you know, players want to even think about. You know, they, if you're in the midst of it, that's where you want to be. You want to be present in that. You're not thinking about, well, if we lose, man, how disappointing is it going to be? Because and realistically, if you lose, it would be a disappointing year, because you've worked so hard and you've done so much that you're considered one of the best teams in. You know, you are one of the favorites to win the World Series. And if you don't, or if you would have lost to a Evansville team, it would have been a big disappointment. So I understand the question. I understand why a player would not necessarily want to answer a question like that, especially at that particular time. But then, you know, the head coach gets on there and, okay, so had you not won the game, then what would have been your rebuttal? Would it have been this, you know, little tangent you went on, Tony? You don't know. But it's like, again, I understand why the player doesn't like it. I understand why you ask that question if you're a reporter. And to an extent, Coach, I understand you wanting to protect your players in certain situations like that, but I think it was too personal. That was too personal of a response to a question that wasn't personal. You see what I'm saying? The question wasn't personal. It was a question that probably everybody would have eventually asked, you know, or been wondering, like, man, if they don't win this game, is this a big disappointment? Yeah, you would tend to think it would be a disappointment. So I understand everything that went on there, but, you know, I think Coach may have taken it just a tad bit too far, I think. It ain't hurt nobody, but, man, you went up there and you just start unloading and you start – I guarantee you lost people too while you were talking. Like, well, they were like, what are you talking about?
Started talking about the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah. Like, you a Patriot and some of y'all are – like, where are you going with this,
Coach? It was like
Coach?
Dennis Rodman from The Last Dance when he was good and we go, and then over here, and then whoop, and then a whoop, and then a whoop, and whoop. I was like, that's where my mind was going when he was speaking. But I appreciate the passion and the fire.
I don't know, Tony Vitale, at all. I watch from afar. Obviously, from where I sit, I am not. I don't think he's a saint. There's certainly a lot that's running through his mind. Mm-hmm. I think you could feel there was a huge weight lifted when they won the game as easily as they did yesterday, and he was at ease to just kind of let it rip, mm-hmm. you know, because now they are going to Omaha, and I think there is a huge notch on your belt when you get to Omaha, regardless of what happens in the World Series. Mm-hmm. When it says College World Series on the side, when you go through the Wikipedia page or whatever page you're looking at that goes year by year and you measure success, you can't argue that when you get to Omaha, that's big. But I do agree with him, and I'm consistent with this, right? You guys know we've had this argument before, whether it be the Predators, Vanderbilt, Tennessee basketball all the time comes up with Rick Barnes, the Titans. I am pretty consistent with this. I do think I have it really strikes a nerve, a chord with me when you say a season is a failure. Now, mm-hmm. disappointment, uh-huh. that's a whole different thing. Mm-hmm. Disappointment is a fair term based on expectations and stuff. But when you say you can't say the season is a success or you go to the next step and say, you failed if you didn't get to a certain point. To me, that's just not a good understanding of sports, and I do think that is unfair. And had they lost, it would have been a major disappointment, but that is why we play sports. There are always upsets. That's why we love sports and following sports and covering sports. And there are certain things that you can't control. Can you be really disappointed? Yeah. But I have a big problem if you're saying the whole season is a failure because of some of the things when you could follow him as he was going through mm-hmm. the tangents. Because, you know, it's about more than the end result. It's the process. Did you come together as a team? Did you put everything you had into it? I think that is the value of sports and playing for a team. It's not necessarily what was the end result. So I think, but I get it. You know, this is what we do, right? Yep. This is what you are judged on to a degree. But I like coaches who stand up for the process. Mm-hmm. And at the end of a season, do you know that you gave it everything you had, even if it didn't go your way? Because baseball mm-hmm. and hockey, I mean, all sports to a degree, but especially baseball, on the wrong day, and your pitcher goes the wrong way, the better team doesn't always win. Look at Florida. One game over 500 for the season. They're going to Omaha. It could be like an Ole Miss kind of situation, right?
Yeah, oh, very
That's
much
how
so.
Baseball is. The best team doesn't always win. The number one overall seed has only won it one time, and that was 1999. Tennessee's the number one overall seed, so it shows you how tough it is, even for the best team in the regular season.
Look at Arkansas. Arkansas consistently, not just this year, but consistently is one of the best teams in the SEC, is one of the best teams in the country, is almost always in the postseason, gets to Omaha fairly consistently, not every single year. They're not there this year, but Arkansas is in Omaha more often than not. Arkansas is one of the most storied and successful baseball programs in college sports. They never won one. They've never won a national championship. And so I think that's a testament to how hard this sport really is. Arkansas had the best pitcher in the country in Hagen Smith, who's a Golden Spikes Award finalist. They didn't even get to the final of their own regional. So it's really hard to win in
this
sport.
And they're not the only – there's tons of examples of that.
Tons of examples this year alone, much less in the history of college baseball. But every single year you see it. Wake Forest was the preseason number one team in the country, and they didn't even get to the postseason.
They didn't win their regional.
They didn't win their regional. Thank you.
Yeah. And so there's certainly the guys who want to be here. I can't help but – I mean, there's a Chase Burns undercurrent there.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the matchup we didn't get to see. Wake Forest coming to Knoxville with Chase Burns pitching. That would have been incredible theater. And there was amazing theater over the weekend even without that.
Yeah.
Even with just what Evansville brought. But I do think that's another theme of what he's saying, if you read between the lines, is life as a college coach these days, the madness of NIL and everything – It puts an extra layer of stress and conflict on everything. It hurts your ability to actually build a culture, you know, from both sides. I mean, sometimes the coach has to play the way the rules are, and it affects the culture.
Here's why. Yeah, I think it's more than just where I can see you would say it was a failure, not necessarily this season, and with coaches like. Okay, let's stop with the complaining coaches. Miss us with that because you're getting paid a lot of money and you know exactly what you're getting into now. You know the landscape has changed in sports. So either you ride with it or you pack up your saddle and you get out. One of the two. Mm-hmm. We're going to do one of the two, but we're not going to continue to complain while in it because you know what it is. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I know it's hard
but
to
I get it,
operate within these parameters now, but you know the game. You can get out like Nick Saban did, like coach from Jay Wright did. You can get out if you want to. You don't have to stay in this game.
Harbaugh
did it. You can get out.
Maybe Dan Hurley?
Absolutely.
Gary Gilmore.
So you can get out if you want to. But the complaining and all this stuff, you know, the woe is me, these hours that I'm spending, UT's paying you a lot of money to spend those hours or whoever was paying you to spend those hours in those hotels to recruit. So that's one. Two, I think it's a disappointment from this. And again, it's not about this season.
Disappointment or failure? As long as you say disappointment, I'm okay with failure.
This season, had they lost, it probably would have been a disappointment had they lost to Evansville.
I say failure
because it's like the Buffalo Bills. And he brought up Buffalo. I think somebody brought up Buffalo here. They went 4 years in a row and didn't win. That is an epic failure. That's a failure. It's not disappointing. Disappointing is to go one time. Or maybe twice, and you just like, man, we disappointed.
Disappointing is the 1999
exactly.
Super Bowl.
You don't go 4 out of the 5 years and then say, oh, is this disappointing? No, that's a failure. That's what I consider a failure. You've been 4 out of the 5 years. 1 year you had one of the best teams ever, and you didn't win. So that's why I can see if people want to lean toward it being more than just a disappointment, but a failure. It's not necessarily the season. It's what you've done over the last – you've been one of the best teams in college basketball over the 5 years, and you haven't – there's nothing you can show for it other than – which is great. making it there. But what happens? Eventually, people forget about the people that made it, and they only talk about the people that won. After a while, you stop having reunions for the teams that almost made it.
I think it's a great argument.
Example of that in Tennessee basketball, where Tennessee basketball fans, they're always going to be in the postseason, mm-hmm. and they're always going to have they're going to be one of the best teams, if not the best team in the SEC, and one of the top teams in the country in the regular season. They're always going to make noise in the tournament. But what's the knock on Rick Barnes? What makes Tennessee fans so frustrated about this team every single year? You can't win the big one. And ultimately, that is what matters when you look back on the record books and the history books and the legacy of teams and coaches. That is what matters, is winning a championship. And I do want to continue this conversation coming up next, because there was one thing that Tony Vitello said in there about the measuring of success, that from his point of view, I understand what he's saying, but I don't necessarily agree with the sentiment. So we'll discuss coming up next. We'll also get into your thoughts on this as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. I mean, Tony Vitello, whatever he was, you know, whatever he put in his drink yesterday before the press conference, I might need me some of that. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace were brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, you can purchase your tickets right now for the Music City Grand Prix at the Nashville Super Speedway on Friday, September 13th through Sunday, September 15th at MusicCityGP.com. As the Raisin Station, 102.5 The Game has a special offer that is for a limited time. You can use the promo code GAME, G-A-M-E, for a 20% discount right now through June 16th. We're reacting to Tony Vitello's press conference right now, and really not the press conference as a whole, his opening statement that was just shy of like 10 minutes where he just went off, and it was his reaction to a reporter asking his player, Blake Burke, the night before after they lost to Evansville to tie the series up, could you still consider this season a success even if you don't make it to Omaha? So Tony was all fired up about that. He was quoting, what is it, Nathaniel Webster? Nathan Webster?
Noah Webster.
Whoever it was. You know, Merriam-Webster Dictionary and how they define
Webster
success.
Slaughter. Remember he was a wide receiver growing up, D-Mace?
Yes, Webster Slaughter. Cleveland Browns.
That's right. Bernie Kosar used to throw a few touchdowns to Webster Slaughter.
Mm-hmm. Whoever Webster it was. You know, whoever has
And then there was Webster, just one name show. Webster, the show.
Yes.
Another thing Caroline probably didn't know about
that. Never heard of that in my life.
Oh, wow. I pull it up.
Nick, you didn't watch Webster?
No, I can't say. Yeah. Hey, if it was on VHS tape, maybe. I mean, through the years, probably not.
Yeah, no. Not, it was not you on our list of things that we watched as kids. Whoever has the skins on the wall to define words, Tony Vitello used that as an example of like, look, I get to define what success is. You can't, all of you scribes and reporters and talking heads, you can't tell us what success is. And I do think from a coach's perspective, obviously Tony Vitello has a much deeper understanding of the journeys and the paths that these players have taken. That there might be a player that's been battling back from injury and has had a really tough time and has experienced a couple of setbacks and is able to get back out on the field, and Tony can see things that we can't, and he can say, well, just this guy being out there today is a success. And I get that. I understand that from a coach's perspective. A young freshman that had a ton of hurdles to overcome, that's a success that he's been able to carve out a starting role. Totally. That however you want to define individual success stories, a coach would have a million times more context and would be a much more appropriate person to ask of individual success. Individual success stories are very different. They can be independent of a team success or a program success. But frankly, I don't agree with the fact that Tony says, well, I can define what success is for my team. Because there's really only one thing that defines success for a team, for a coach, for a program, and it's winning games and losing games. It's winning championships versus not winning championships. So I understand Tony's not talking to us. He's not talking to the fans. He's not talking to the media. He is talking to every single player in that locker room that knows that no matter what, he's got their back and he is going to support them until his last breath. But that's just it's not the truth. Success is measured in wins and losses, and this season would not have been a success had Tennessee lost to Evansville in a super regional. Now, what happens in Omaha? We'll see. Getting to Omaha, like Willie said in the last segment, it's a feat in and of itself. One thing defines success. Win games, win championships.
Ultimately, that's what it's about. I get what he's saying within the sort of scope of, you know, whatever you want to define success as or winning. There are things within that that happens during the season that you can say, we accomplished this, we accomplished this. Maybe, you know, the team builds a better chemistry. We accomplished that. That was one of our goals at the beginning of the season. We accomplished it. You know, there are a myriad of different things that you can accomplish within a season, but you're right. If you're not winning, that's what it boils down to. The AD, chancellor, president, they ain't keeping you because you got a good chemistry on the team. They're not keeping you because one kid went from hitting 295 to hitting 300. I know that's a success for you, coach, and that's a success for that individual player. But what it boils down to is, are you winning baseball games or are you not? That's what it boils down to. And if you're not consistently, then we got to move on. So that is the measurement of a successful season, winning and losing. Point blank. When you get fired, they don't go over this all this other stuff. They point blank is, hey, listen, we had to move on. The team wasn't winning. That's what it is. So I understand what he's saying in the midst of the big picture. There are individual sort of achievements that you hit during the season with individual players or whatnot within the conference. But ultimately, if you're not winning, if you're not doing the things that they brought you here to do, then eventually they're going to replace you. If you're not winning at a clip, right now he's winning, what, 70-some percent of his game? So he's winning at a high clip. But eventually, it happens to every coach, no matter how much you win. If you don't win a championship, eventually teams, universities, they will move on from you.
Well, you become a victim of your own success.
Absolutely.
You're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because I look at it from where I sit. I'm outside, right? I'm not living and dying with every pitch that's thrown for that team. But I look at what that league has become. It's always been, going back to when I played and long before I played, it's always been the best college baseball league in the country. Now, I think it's tougher than it's ever been. Just look at who's in Omaha. Four teams have made it with a fifth that has a chance tonight. Georgia playing at home. You know, I feel like they got a pretty good chance. Five of the eight in the College World Series could be from that league, and easily could have been two or three others that would have been good enough to win if they played their best. You know, it's just amazing. And they won that league. Tennessee has been as good as anybody the last 3 or 4 years. They won the SEC tournament. They're the number one overall seed. As we've said, the number one overall seed has won it once, I think, since they went to 64 teams. I think I've got that right. Since they did national seeds.
And it's been 25 years?
Yeah, I think it was 1999, the last team that won it. Mm. I watched Vanderbilt as the number one overall seed lose the first time they ever got it. This was still the beginning of the Tim Corbin, when they had David Price and those guys, Mike Minor, and they lost to Michigan. That was the first time they'd ever hosted a regional. It was an amazing sports weekend, but they came up short. And you were just beginning to see how hard it was to win. But baseball is like that. Baseball, the best team doesn't always win. So I think he's done a lot. The other nuanced thing I hear him saying, it's hard to keep a team together. It's that constant stress of, you know, I should have pinch hit this guy. I know this guy really wants to play. I need to get him in there. I can only play 9 guys. But because he knows that at the end of the year, 5 guys could come into his office and say, you know, I love being here, sort of, but I want to play more.
I'm not playing.
I'm not playing enough, and I know I can go play somewhere better and play more if I go to another place. Mm-hmm. You know, even when you're the best program, the number one seed, and you're paying guys, which I'm sure they are, they were one of the first teams to dive into the NIL kind of stuff, but you can't play everybody. You can't have, but in order to win the national championship, you've got to have layers of talent. Yeah. You've got to have waves. You've got to have extra pitching in case you get into the loser's bracket,
in case you need a 53-man roster in college baseball.
Right, but keeping that team together is just as hard as putting it together, because as soon as the year's over, everybody is a free agent. Everybody self-evaluates. Do I like it here enough, or is the grass greener on the other side? It has created an extra layer of stress for the even the most successful programs.
And I think that college baseball has an even extra added layer of complication, because your entire recruiting class could decide to just up and leave for Major League Baseball if they get drafted. So that's not something that happens in football. That's not something that happens in basketball, that players can leave directly out of high school. So that's another wrench that's thrown into it. But it's also complications that every coach in America is facing.
Exactly.
How do I keep my team together? How do I come up with enough money to keep people happy and keep them here, or to bring recruits here? It's difficult for every coach involved. But I'll reiterate that even through all of this, the messiness of NIL and transfer portal and how funky and weird of a sport college baseball really is, all it takes is one off day from your ace to lose a game and then to ultimately lose the series. Tony Vitello has set this program up to a certain position, but it's now expected that you are where Tennessee is right now, that they are in Omaha, that they're in the conversation. And I think that Tony Vitello has been taking a couple of pages out of the Nick Saban playbook of manufacturing bulletin board material, because Tony Vitello said, hey, look, we're the number one overall seed. We're playing with house money. The number one overall seed never wins the national championship. It reminds me of like what Kirby Smart does and what Nick Saban always does is, they're counting us out. Literally no one's counting you out. Literally, nobody is counting you out. You've got a roster full of five stars, and you're the number one overall seed or the number one team preseason, whatever it might be. But I do think that the trajectory that Tony Vitello has this team on, they're going to break through eventually. And they eventually are going to win a national championship. And while I think that's the expectation this year might not necessarily be fair, it's fair to say that the expectation was at least to get to Omaha.
That's the problem is you until you win it, right, there's this sense of, man, the window's open. You got these great teams. You got to take advantage. You got to hope that you can pull off a championship, because staying up there is not going to be easy, especially in today's competitive environment. The way SEC baseball is going, I'm telling you, in the next 5 or 10 years, it's going to be even more extreme how many talented players will be playing in this league, because they're going to get paid more than you get paid in the low minor leagues. It's not even close, right? So less people are going to go to the draft. You're going to have a higher caliber, and you're going to have more teams that can contend just within that league. Forget about, some pretty good programs like Clemson and North Carolina and Virginia, some, ACC teams, Florida State. They're going to have their own machines as well. So sustaining it and winning it while you have a chance is big, and that's where – the ones that have won it, they have a little bit more breathing room in terms of, the last couple of years haven't maybe gone our way, but I've got that trophy. I've got that national title on the rack.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think that, what he
sorry, go ahead.
No, Denise. No. I think what this is truly all about, because you got to understand, it's been 4 of the 5 years they've been to Omaha. Well, to me, that tells me that there are players on that team that have been there the whole duration of this ride, 4 out of the 5 years. Or let's say there has to be at least a handful of guys that have been there for the whole ride. I think what he's trying to do, because he understands this, it's starting to get the anxiety is starting to build up.
Yeah.
There's starting to be pressure. Because these guys have been here. All these guys have been here.
It was much more fun.
Exactly.
We hadn't been here ever. They were really down before he got there.
Yeah.
The climb is a lot more fun and
exactly.
easy.
Exactly. So if we've never been here, I can see if we've never been here, then it's okay. But we've been here 4 out of the 5 years, which means there's a handful of guys on this team that have experienced this. So let me take the heat off them. Let me shift everything the attention toward me. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to say, because half the stuff he said didn't make sense in regards to baseball. That's what I'm saying. He even talked about if you're looking to come to UT and you want money, then that don't do it. Why not? That's the way college sports is.
They were one of the first to dive in there with the money.
Exactly. So when you say things like that, it tells me, One, you don't believe it. But then two, you're trying to take the heat off your players because you know there are a group of guys that have been on this team since day one. When I mean day one, I mean 4 years ago, you know, that have experienced going to Omaha and losing and it being a disappointment. Mm-hmm. Now let me take the heat off these guys. Let me come in here. Y'all gave me the mic. Let me come in here and just start talking about what I don't – I'm going to talk about any and everything. So I can take the heat off my players. And now what is everybody talking about now? Tony. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about his team. They're talking about him and what he said. He accomplished his mission.
Yeah.
Now let's ride.
And I think that there's a whole lot of truth to if you don't win a until you win a championship, the question is going to be, well, when's it coming? Yeah. And once you win it, it seems like everybody breathes a breath of fresh air. LSU baseball was terrible this year. Terrible. But we had a ring, and that's what I said the entirety of the season.
I don't think they were terrible, but
the first half of SEC play, they were 3-12, and yeah, they turned things around, they got better, and they made it to the postseason. But by LSU standards, that's a disappointment.
That's the key caveat is by standards. LSU standards, yeah. Right? But LSU, it just shows you how hard it is to sustain.
Mm-hmm. It is.
They go from being the national title winner to 3-12, and then fighting their way back. I think that was a great success for LSU. I'm sure their fans may not feel that way, but for me, to me, if I'm looking at that journey and I see a team at 3-12 in a year in a league where you can get buried, right?
Totally.
Teams are like, oh man, mm-hmm. Let's take advantage of LSU. They're down. We got to sweep them, right? They're looking for blood. They're not like, oh, LSU. That's not how it works, right? When you're down, they kick you when you're down, and they climb back up. Made it to the tournament. That's a success to me.
Yeah.
But that's me.
Yeah,
all right?
I don't know about all that. I disagree,
but they lost the number one pick in the draft and the number two pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And they still pulled this off. Like, what are you're not expecting to go down a little bit when you lose the top two picks in the draft?
But my point being, it's just the expectation at LSU baseball is not to be on the road for a regional, and that's where LSU found themselves.
Right.
So, yeah, it was.
It happens to the best. They're one of the best programs over the last 30, 35 years of college baseball.
But my point
right? But even it's hard for them. That's the point.
Yes.
Sometimes it happens. They're human.
Well, it happened to Ole Miss. It happened to Mississippi State. That Ole Miss won the national championship, and they have missed the postseason the last 2 years. They've been dreadful the last 2 years. It happens. My point being, heat comes off a lot. Questions stop being asked once you win a national championship. That saves you a little bit of time. I'm not saying that Tony's on the hot seat or that he should be in this. That's not what I'm saying at all. It's just that's how much winning a championship can do. I went to a school that fired a coach a year and a half removed from winning a national championship. But that is crazy. But a winning national championship, it saves you time. That is what matters. But you brought up the NIL stuff. I want to hit that coming up next. What do we make of what Tony Vitello had to say about NIL, kind of a message to some prospective players in the transfer portal in high school? We'll hit some of your phones coming up next as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.
They did an awful lot of hotels to be in this position alone and running around and watching games. And we've done it, I think, from the ground up here. And while I'm at it, anybody that's thinking about visiting our place that we're recruiting and you think this is a place you can come and have your hand out and see how much money we can give you, don't waste our time and don't waste your time either.
That was Tony Vitello in his post-game press conference last night. Just a little blurb of his near 7-minute diatribe after Tennessee took Evansville down last night to punch their ticket to Omaha. Tony Vitello saying there, kind of reiterating what we've heard recently from some other college coaches. I know Kirby Smart has been very public about, hey, look, you're not coming here to get a paycheck. Brian Kelly made comments that went viral. He said, we're not in the business of buying players. Tony Vitello kind of repeating that same sentiment of, you're not going to come here just to collect money, just to collect NIL. What do we think about that? What are our reaction to what Tony Vitello had to say there?
It's an unintended consequence of a dynamic that's out there. It's different for different people. We heard Gary Gilmore's diatribe on this. A guy on the way out, Coastal Carolina, won a national championship in baseball at the school that he's retiring from now in, you know, the era just before this all started, 2016. And that was hard enough. But now he talked about how some of his best players will leave just because he can't match what Tennessee or Alabama or LSU could offer in the NIL, totally legally, right? Everybody's a free agent every year. Tennessee has benefited greatly from being a school that has the resources to be able to pay kids NIL. They were one of the first collectives I heard about was Tennessee. They were in the game immediately. And he's talking about how even it's hard for him. Now, nobody's going to feel sorry for Tony Vitello, right? It'll be a little easier for us to empathize with Gary Gilmore or, you know, Belmont's coach or Middle Tennessee's coach or Western Kentucky's coach than it will for Tennessee's coach, right? So nobody's going to get the violins out for him when he says that, because it's understood that when you're playing for Tennessee, there is going to be money involved. He's used it to his advantage, but it doesn't mean that there isn't friction within with some guys when it comes down to that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can dislike the process, but still have to play the game, but still have to be involved with it. Again, coach, that ship has sailed. It is. And I know you're going to have other college coaches continue to sort of echo this or try to champion this. But listen, that boat left a long time ago. You know, for you to come out and say, well, if you're looking for a paycheck coming here, then don't. No, that stuff is over with. Because if the best player in the country want to come to your program, you're going to ante up the damn money. You're going to give it to them. If the number one pitcher in the country comes to your university and say, I want to come here, but, oh, by the way, do you have this? Hell yeah, you're going to have it for them. So this stuff, if you want to come, that's the part that's disingenuous, that part. Like, if you come into UT, don't ask for – what do you think this world – it's college is no longer amateur sport anymore. Yeah. College is no longer amateur sport. And these coaches understand it, but some just keep pushing that narrative, don't come to my university and ask for money. I can see if Bethune-Cookman was saying that, yeah, they don't have the money to be giving everybody. Or TSU, as much as I love TSU and Coach George, he probably doesn't have the money to be shelling out to different. They can say that. But when you are the University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, Ohio State, the Ohio State University, Michigan, or whoever else in these big conferences, when you start walking down this road of, oh, don't come in, people are looking at you like, man, shut up. Because y'all got, and I'm being honest, like, I'm not mad that he said it or anything, but again, it's disingenuous, because if the number one pitcher want to come to your program and he says, coach, what you got for me, or NIL, what NIL deals, you're going to make sure you find those NIL deals for him. That's just a way of life, because if you keep on saying that, your program is going to be back where it was before you got there. You're too high on your horse now to say all of this, and you're saying, oh, we're good now, so I can say this. But when the tables start to turn, oh, you ain't going to be screaming this. You're going to be trying to pass out money like it's hotcakes. Like, come on, come here. So don't say it now. That's all I'm saying, because you know how the game is played.
And
it's
madness, because Exactly. Everybody's a free agent. Now, let's go. I don't know all the particulars of what happened with Chase Burns, but he had one of the most dominant pitchers in the country, fair to say, last year.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know if he just got an agent and said, you know what? I'm going to take full advantage of this. Let me just see what's out there. Mm-hmm. Chase Burns is out there. And he ends up at Wake Forest. I don't know if Wake Forest, of all places, Wake Forest, right, who had a pretty darn good program, went to the finals last year. But
semifinal until they got beat by the LSU Tigers.
Right, they got beat by the Tigers in an epic series.
It was awesome.
It was a great series.
Yeah.
So he goes over there. I don't know what he was getting paid. I don't know what Tennessee offered him. I don't know if there was just a flat-out falling out between coach and player. But that's an example. That is what Tennessee is missing off of this team, I think. They don't have that dominant Paul Skeens, Chase Burns, kind of number one guy that can dominate in Omaha. And we'll see if they're still good enough to win the whole thing. They still might be.
Yeah.
They have great depth. Mm-hmm. But they don't have that superstar ace number one, in my opinion. So that I don't know what he's talking about there. Is he talking about Chase Burns when he's saying that? But I do think in the whole big picture of NIL, it is a double-edged sword. I don't think it's great for college-age kids to just be shopping themselves around with an agent when you're a free agent twice a year, it's madness, yeah. Right? It puts that huge amount of stress on everybody, yeah, when there's a lot of money involved, and it makes your life hell, I think, as a coach.
But it doesn't mean that.
But it's the game you're in.
But it doesn't mean that the game is not good. Like that game, like you can't benefit from that game, the game of NIL, because you can benefit for it. And get it. I understand the premise of what he's saying, but in this new world of college sports, that's gone now.
But I hope for a player, it's not only about the money. Well, if that's his point, then okay. But you shouldn't only be about the money, although it's so easy, especially when you're the top player and you've got 10 schools and you're a free agent. There's no salary cap. It's whatever somebody is willing to pay you.
But why shouldn't it be about the money? I mean, I understand.
There's more to life.
I know. Listen, Willie.
You're college age.
I know that part, yeah. Like, there's more to the whole big story, the big picture of it. I get that part. But why are you making these kids feel as if that's wrong, like something's wrong? Because y'all benefited off their backs for the last 50 years. So when these young men and women come into your university and say, "What do you got for me?" Don't get mad at them. Y'all got paid handsomely off of all their backs. My back, your back, Willie, your back when you when you swam. They got paid off of all our backs. Mm-hmm. So don't come now and say, "No, don't be acting." No, let these kids do what they do. You didn't have a choice whether to say, "Here's the money," because you have it, or "No, we don't have it," or "That school's paying you a little bit too much. We just can't ante up that much money." But don't sit here and say, "Well, if you're asking for money, basically, this is not the place." Yeah, it is the place to be, because y'all got a lot of damn money in that vault over there up in Knoxville. A lot of it.
Well, let's continue that, because I think it's a fair point that you bring up. Tony Vitello saying, "Hey, don't come crying to me about money. If that's your number one motivator, you're wasting your time. You're wasting ours as well." Is Tony Vitello wrong for saying that? Are coaches that say something like to a very similar sentiment? We heard Brian Kelly say that. We heard Kirby Smart say that. We've heard a lot of coaches come out and say, "Hey, look, you're not going to come here just for a paycheck." Is Tony Vitello wrong in saying that? We'll get into that coming up next. And, of course, your phones as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Billy D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.